to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
There are so many Christian women with fascinating stories, whether missionaries, musicians, reformers, authors, wives, mothers, or travelers and international ministry women. Their examples are inspirational to us all, like Diane's.
That's right. So we've had two episodes so far with Diane, but we felt, Diane Slavolka, we felt like that was just for you as listeners to get to know what the ministry is about. So we focus pretty much on the ministries, traveling with a purpose or travel with a purpose, and then Tirza. But there are so many stories that we wanted to get to.
And time just went too quickly.
That's right. But we would encourage you listen to part one and two and really consider if this might be something. I think that something, a trip like this would possibly make you more of a woman worth knowing because you've got a story to tell.
Well, I'll tell you what, Cheryl and I, our eyes are popping back and forth,
yes,
across the table,
they are.
And the wheels are turning. It's
That's
like,
it.
Oh, we could go here or there.
That's right. But we really want to hear the stories.
Yes.
And so we're going to try to not interrupt because we love to. Both of us, we love this.
Sorry.
But, you know, tell us some of the stories or, you know, maybe your first experience with Tirza.
Okay. Yeah. So, back in 2021, I was in Serbia, and I mentioned this in the last episode, but I was in Serbia visiting our relatives, ran into a woman that I've known for many, many years, and she told me about Tirza. She started helping out with some of the stuff that they do with the Emerging Leader Program and the microenterprise, and I had no idea even who Tirza International was. I had never heard about this ministry, but that night when I got back to my computer, I Googled it and went to the website, and as I just poured through page after page, I just said to myself, what is this Christian ministry that is helping women around the world that I have never heard of before? And I think what really drew me in was it was the opportunities for women. I think we know that a lot of women around the world face a lot of hard things. You know, if you are a person who watches the news or reads or is a sponge for information, you very quickly know that there are places even today in the world where women can't be educated, where women are sold into being a child bride as young as 12 or 13 years old. And so when you learn that in many places around the world, that this is the story of women's lives, and that there is an organization, a Christian ministry that's coming alongside to do something about that, it just grabs you. And then what I love too is as I learned more is that I learned of the sustainable nature of helping. So I think, you know, sometimes our old models of charity have been where we enter a place as the foreigner who has all the answers and we just kind of operate with handouts, and there is a time and a place for that. I believe with relief organizations, there is a time and a place for that. But I think what gets me really excited is equipping people to actually be able to change their own lives. And so that's what Tirza does. And I think it's a sustainable way to truly make a difference, not just in that woman's life, but also in her family and in her community. And what we're seeing is that it's transforming communities and it's transforming nations.
Wow.
And so it's really, really incredible. So if you didn't listen to the last episode, let me just kind of recap. Tirza International is a Christian global nonprofit that is essentially a network of women leaders who are indigenous, who love Jesus. We're in 35 countries. We are mostly in Africa, but then also in India, Mexico, and Serbia. So there's my personal connection. You'll have to listen to the first episode, I guess, to catch that one. But the other thing that I loved too when I first looked at Tirza's website was that they also do the trips. And so that was obviously a real connection with me too.
Yes.
Oh, trips that are culturally immersive and celebrate the local people and history and culture and really based on education and learning, but then also the opportunity to see how God's at work. And that's what the Tirzah trips
are. So where was your first trip with Tirzah? Where did you go and who'd you meet?
I went to India. And when I first got to know Tirzah, the first thing I said to my husband was, I just found this organization that I'm in love with, and I need to know more about how they work and how they operate. And so, to be honest, India was never a destination that was on my radar, but it was the one trip that they had that year that fit my schedule. So I was like, well, okay, I'm going to go to India. So I sign up for this trip. I fly to Delhi by myself, which is a long flight, by the way. And I arrive and I'm there in the baggage claim area, and all the women from all across the United States who were on this trip, there were quite a few of us, I think it was 14 of us, we met for the first time in the baggage claim. And that began an incredible experience, because not only did I fall in love with the culture, but the people and the style of ministry. Mm-hmm. So the very first morning we got to our haveli late at night in Old Delhi, went to bed. The next morning we were greeted by some ministry leaders for an artisan shop called Kushbu. And so Kushbu is one of Tirzah's many, many partners. And as we sat down for breakfast, these two women who run this ministry, they shared their heart. They shared their testimonies, how they came to faith. They shared about the women that they are serving in their community. And basically what Kushbu does is they are an artisan market. So they train women who are very marginalized. I mentioned Ronnie in the last episode, but I'll just briefly mention her again. As a group, we all split up the next day when we visited the workshop. We all split up and went home with one of the artisans. Mm. And I got to go home with Ronnie and see her very humble apartment. We took our shoes off and walked inside, and she showed us how to make marsala chai tea, and we sat on her bed, and she wanted to tell us how she came to faith, how she came to know Jesus, and how being a part of the Kushbu community had changed her life. Because when she came to faith, she had been marginalized from her family, who did not appreciate her leaving Hinduism. And so she'd become an outcast. But she had found faith in Jesus, and she found faith in a community that believed in her, that said, you are beloved, you have a purpose, you have skill, you have ability, you have a future. And so with what she has learned how to do, she's a beautiful seamstress, and what she's learned how to do is be able to create products that sell both locally and globally. And I mean, the smile on her face when you see these women working together. There's actually, on this very day, it's so weird that we're recording this today, because on this very day, there's a church partnership with Tirzah International that's in that workshop today.
Wow.
And they're doing the block printing, and I've just been just thinking and praying for them today, yes, knowing that they are having that experience, and they'll go and have butter chicken and naan bread for lunch.
Okay, that does sound really good. So what of your experience with Tirzah, what has been probably, besides Ronnie, the most memorable or the most, for you, maybe life-changing?
Yeah, so because it's a network of global women leaders who are indigenous, I think the thing that really, month after month, because, you know, with nonprofit work, it's hard. Anyone who does nonprofit work and fundraising, which is primarily what we do on our side here in the U.S., we are equipping them, we are resourcing them, we have curriculum that does our leadership development, our microenterprise, our skills training. So we are doing the equipping, we're the capacity builders, we come alongside. But the thing that that impresses me so much is that when we get to have interaction with these women leaders, I am blessed and just in awe every single time. So for example, yesterday morning we had our monthly prayer meeting. So we do this once a month where all the global leaders from around the world and all of the U.S. staff, which is small. There's just a few of us, actually. We gather together for a Zoom meeting, and it's a prayer meeting. So we go through, and women talk about what's happening in their programs. I don't remember if I mentioned it in this episode or the last, but these women are either leaders in their churches, they have nonprofits that they're running to meet a need, or they have a social business where they're employing women. All of them are faith-based, and they're all sharing the gospel and the love of Jesus. It's beautiful, so that these women will know that they are loved by God. But in these prayer meetings, as I sit and listen to these women, whether they be from India or South Africa or Zimbabwe or Kenya or Ethiopia, wherever they're at, Mexico, as they share, I love hearing how they are struggling. I don't love hearing the struggle, but I love hearing them be authentic and sharing where the challenges are that they're facing. And there's hard stuff. Like one of the ministries we partner with in South Africa, they had two deaths this last month. Mm. There was a young woman who was gang raped and killed.
Mm.
And she was a young woman who was in their program and was coming each day.
Mm.
And that devastated them.
Yeah.
It broke their hearts. Oh. And there's been so many tears and questions. But this is also the reality of these hard places where these people are living and working. And so as these prayer requests are shared, I love seeing how the women, many of them, actually most of them, have never met each other in person, because one might be in South Africa and one might be in Mumbai. But they come alongside each other, yes, and they encourage one another. They share words of encouragement with scripture. They share personal stories of how God has brought them through difficult times, and then they pray for each other. And my team here on the U.S. side, I mean, what can we do but just sit there and take it all in and thank God that we get to be a part of these women's lives and help them do what they're doing, because they're doing such beautiful work. So, yeah, it's amazing.
I love the work of Tirza, and the motto is so good. When women rise, the world rises with them.
Yes.
And you see that happening.
Yes.
What an alternative to our very self-indulgent, self-centered culture, to say, look, there's a whole world out there. You know, it really doesn't matter, you know, if the hairstylist got your color right on your hair.
Right, like
There are bigger things.
There are bigger things.
Bigger issues, and issues that deal with life and death. Yeah. And there's pain that's not your own pain, and allows others, you know, these other women to empathize. And I think, especially for younger, like teenagers, I know you said on one of the trips, some of the girls are 18 years old, and you think that is so...
It's life-changing.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. And I think it sets a trajectory that is away from self towards others.
Absolutely.
That is just such a great trajectory, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think when it comes to, you know, when we talk about the long-lasting change, that there's going to be this trickle effect that goes on and on and on, where we're seeing that really profoundly is in our leadership development program. Mm. So with the micro enterprise and with the skills-based training, a lot of those women are more of your marginalized women who are illiterate, who have been denied an education, who what can they do? And many of them have actually turned to trying to make ends meet by doing illegal things. We've got women in prison in South Sudan who only could provide food for their families by selling illegal alcohol, you know, and it's what they were doing. Well, then they were caught and then they were put in prison. And we have a beautiful ministry there that is serving. And when those women come out, teaching the micro enterprise so that they can start their own small business and find another way, but then also finding Jesus with those programs. But anyway, but let me get back to the leadership development. Leadership development is a completely different thing that we do. And this actually targets women in these countries who are college educated. So these women have had a different life experience. They are still South African or Kenyan or Ethiopian or Indian, but they've gone through college, they've grown up with some level of not wealth, but with means. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing with them is this 2-year program. It's an emerging leader program, and it's essentially a Bible study. It's a 10-module Bible study. It's our own curriculum that we developed a few years ago, and it takes them through, what does it look like to be a leader, to lead like Jesus? Who are you as a person, and how has God equipped you? And all the women who do this know that God's called them into a place of leadership. So then what happens is these women are mentored by older women, then they become mentors themselves. And then these are the women that are turning around, that are starting small businesses, nonprofits, stepping into church leadership. And so this is how we're seeing nations change, because it's this trickle effect that goes on and on and on. Next month, our trainer, her name's Esme, and she's in South Africa. She will be going to Kenya to train 50 brand new mentors in Kenya. And those mentors will turn around and then train each one of them about 4 mentees.
Wow.
And we'll step into that 2-year program. So this is a cycle that we're seeing repeated year after year. And what's happening across these communities is incredible.
You know, it reminds me a little bit. We did a podcast a couple of years ago, I think, on Josephine Butler. And what she saw, and this is in England, is that these girls were having to turn and widows to prostitution because there were no alternatives. Mm-hmm. And way back when, and this is in the 1800s, she started these schools, these training schools that would train them how to type, how to sew. It would give them skill sets, but there was persecution against them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certain that Tirza has probably gotten some pushback. I mean, there's some warfare there, right?
There is. And when I was in India, we were in Hyderabad, and we were sitting with a group of women, many who had come out of brothels, many who were HIV positive. And we sat with a woman who, I don't recall her name, but she was burned from head to toe. And I had personally never experienced something like this or been close to someone like this. But sitting right next to her, I mean, it really caught your attention, because I didn't really know what had happened to her. But she shared her testimony. And when she had come to faith, her husband had burned her with acid.
Oh, dear.
And we gathered around her. She wanted to share her story. It had been a number of years, and so the wounds were healed, but they were permanent. And she wanted to share her story, and she wanted to share what Jesus had done in her life. And she's actually a very hopeful woman. But what was incredible was my main takeaway from that encounter was, as these 14 women here that I'm traveling with, we are gathering around her to hear her story. The woman who was leading the trip, she looked over to one of the women who was actually a board member for Tirza, who she said to her, "Debbie, will you pray for this woman?" And I didn't know Debbie at this point, but as soon as she started praying, I could see that Debbie was a woman who was well acquainted with suffering.
Wow.
And I mean, it's hard to describe like those kind of moments, because it's beautiful how God can knit our hearts together even through suffering and hard things. And then many days later, I then came to know Debbie's story. And I think that's what's so beautiful about the work that Tirza does, is that everybody has a story. Everybody's story is worth knowing. And
absolutely. We're shaking our heads yes, because we realize listeners can't see us.
Yeah. And no matter where you live, whether you live in a small village outside of Hyderabad or you live somewhere here in the United States, God has every single one of us on a journey. Yes. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know how much he loves us, and that every one of us has value no matter what you've been told your whole life. And he has special work for every one of us to do.
And that's why when you're going to these places too, you are imparting and affirming that value. But in affirming that value, you are realizing, I have value. I have the value that I can come and affirm. Mm-hmm. There's value in affirming someone and encouraging. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and not because, and my value doesn't come because of anything that I've done, but it's realizing that it's His power working through me.
Oh, and that is life-changing. Just to be used by God is so life-changing. So,
and really, you think about the next generation, though, mm-hmm. what these women are able to provide for their children if they did not have the means that, or the resources that Tirza is able to provide for them so that they can provide income or they can get their children into school so that the next generation
is
changed where that wouldn't have been possible.
Yeah. Yes. Education and opportunities are incredible, you know, and we really don't get it because education is not valued here like it is in other parts of the world. Opportunities, we kind of take them for granted, so we don't understand. But what we do know, you know, and there are many organizations doing many great things for families, for men, which are all important. But Tirza really focuses on women because that's the heart. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Tirza comes from Numbers. There's a story.
I recognize the name Tirza. It's also in Ben-Hur. Tirza is a sister of.
So there's a story in Numbers where five sisters, this is when the Israelites were wandering in the desert.
The inheritance.
And they went to Moses and asked because the men had died in their family. And so and that was even bold to even go ask Moses, because in that society, that was really not welcomed if you weren't invited to come and approach the leaders. But they did. And they boldly did. And Moses went and talked to God. And God said, yes, give them the rights of their inheritance. And
I love also in scripture, that story comes up three times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which shows the importance.
The boldness of the women to just ask.
Yeah. And what we see over and over again, and this is across the board in Christian and in secular circles, that we know that when women are invested in, they turn around. I mean, the percentages are staggering. They turn around and they invest in their community. Mm-hmm. And it really is life-changing, not just for them, but for the people around them.
Which is reminds me of when Paul is telling Titus, have the older woman teach the younger women.
Yes.
And that's what they're doing. And boy, there's socially, physically, emotionally, mentally, you can just see the payoff in all of that, you know? Yeah.
There's an artisans division that I have received some of their beautiful items that have been made and then are available to purchase in the U.S. through very limited shops.
Yes. So we have the, we do those partnerships. Now, when we work with artisan markets, we really want them to be sustainable in their own communities. Mm-hmm. But it is possible to also get their goods here. So, for example, we just did a pottery collection, which will be arriving soon, and that was a special order. So I recommend if you're interested in beautiful leather goods from Kenya or Ethiopia, beautiful block-printed textiles from India, I recommend following along on Tirza. It's tirza.org, and you can get on the email and receive that communication when those are available for purchase. But they are beautiful. And every single handmade item tells a story because those are made with love and you know that an opportunity has been made through the creation of those.
So Tirza is T-I-R-Z-A-H?
That is correct. T-I-R-Z-A-H.org.
That's really...
It's a wonderful ministry that's really, really doing good work. Yeah.
It is.
I'm really hopeful that our listeners are understanding that there's... We bring stories every week of women that have had these remarkable things that have happened in their lives because God has just opened doors for them. But for all of our listeners, there's opportunities for God to lead you into something that you didn't even think of, just like Diane was saying, didn't even hear about Tirza. But that...
Keep your eyes open.
Yes, just this opportunity to travel, look at travel on purpose.
Thank you. Yeah.
.com and tirza.org.
Yes.
And both of those beautiful ministries with this global picture, it offers these opportunities that I have this sense that somebody needs to get out of their little
bubble.
Cocoon. Yes. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Diane. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And we just needed this extra episode just to tell some of the stories.
Yes.
And the fruit of this ministry.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not so well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. If you think there is a woman worth knowing, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at WWK@cccm.com. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. Women Worth Knowing is a production of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.